The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, it's Friday, May 17th, 2024. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. And we want to welcome you to today's program. I am your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder and the pastor and the voice of End Time Headlines. We've got a great program for you tonight. For you guys who love encouraging, equipping messages, this is going to be a message for you. We're going to take a break from news, headlines, information, and we want to give you revelation tonight. I want to talk about the one weapon that the enemy will try everything he can to keep you in the dark on and keep you ignorant of. And we're going to tackle that tonight. Before we get started, I want to encourage you to please hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that bell notification so that you can be informed and you can be be informed, but you'll catch every one of our broadcasts on YouTube, here on Rumble, and whatever platform you'll be watching. But also it helps us push out our messages on these platforms. And of course, guys, if you've not downloaded our free app yet, please grab it today. Pick it up at your Play Store. You can, and depending on what you have, Apple, Android, it's going to be available for both. Pick it up today. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be squared away. You're going to be good to go, and you're not going to miss a single headline. All right, guys, if you have a Bible, you're going to need one tonight. If you don't have one, I need you to grab one. If you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, this is definitely pertaining to you. If you're watching the visual of this, I'll pull up these scriptures to the best I can. If I pull up every one of them, we'll never get through this, but I'm going to at least our main foundational scriptures, I'll definitely pull these up. First of all, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 6. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 6. All right, Hebrews chapter 6. Here's what the Word of God says. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So here the Apostle Paul, I believe, who wrote the book of Hebrews, is telling us that there are elementary principles of Christ. There are elementary principles, and he names like five or six of them here. He names, he talks about the laying of the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith towards God, the doctrine of baptisms. There's more than one baptism. There's laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And Paul talks about these and calls these elementary principles. And he said, there comes a time, these are great, these are wonderful. When we give our heart to Christ, we get saved, and we get born again. This is repentance from dead works, and we put our faith towards God in Christ. Then we get water baptized. That's one of two baptisms. And then the second baptism is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And by the way, tonight, I don't want to talk about repentance from dead works. I don't want to talk about eternal judgment. I'm not talking about laying on of hands, but I want to talk about one of the plural tense baptisms that Paul references here, and that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll explain why this is important as we get on to this. Let's go to the book of Mark chapter 1. Here we see John the Baptist comes on the scene, and he's preaching a baptism of repentance, okay? And this is a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. That's what the Bible says in Mark chapter 1. Then the Bible says there, he gets to verse 7. I'll pull this up on the screen so you guys can follow along with me. We get to verse 7 down here, and it says that, and John is preaching, and he says, there comes one after me, who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, if we go to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3, Matthew says that John says he's talking about Jesus. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Your King James says the Holy Ghost and fire. So I want you to see this. Again, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So I'd want you to catch this. You've got this is imperative that you catch this. John's baptism was a baptism of water unto repentance, but Jesus' baptism was a baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, I want to tell every believer today that, listen, it is not essential for you to be baptized in the Holy Ghost to go to heaven. You go to heaven through faith in Christ, through the shed blood of Jesus by putting your faith in him. We enter heaven through the blood of Jesus, not water baptism. And listen, there's a whole teaching out there. It says that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not making it to heaven. That is not biblical. Again, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We are saved through the blood of Jesus, through faith in him, in his grace, through what he did at the cross, okay? Not water baptism and whether or not you can or cannot speak in tongues. We're going to cover all of that in this segment. But I want to tell you that, watch this, both of these baptisms, the baptism of John and the baptism of Jesus, is available to every believer. Now, here's what I want to tell you. Most believers, and I venture to say a lot of people that are even be listening and watching this broadcast, you have been led to believe, taught, whatever, from your church or pastor, your denomination, that John's baptism, which is repentance and putting your faith in Christ, water baptism, turning from your sins, this is the only one that that you need. Now, I'm going to prove to you today that, listen, you'll get to heaven through John's baptism. This is not a salvation issue at all. So I don't want you to, don't get on here and please don't get into the comment section and make a rebuttal video about Brother Ricky saying that I'm telling people that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a salvation issue, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm telling you, you'll get to heaven through John's baptism, but watch this. While we're still here on the earth, we're not in heaven yet, but while we're still here on earth, we need a cutting edge. We're going to need, listen to me, we're going to need something that God has given us as a gift that is available to all believers. I'm going to prove that in a minute. And it is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why do we need this? I'm glad you asked. Please stick around and I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to show you why. Now you say, well, hold up here, Brother Ricky. I thought we received the baptism of the Holy Spirit when we got saved. No, you received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and wherein which you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. We're not talking about that is the infilling. I'm talking about the baptism of the endowment of power, Acts chapter 2. Now watch this. I'm going to show you this. Let's go to John chapter 20. Let's go down here to verse 19. Now this Jesus is, he's crucified, he's buried, he's raised, he's risen from the dead, and watch this in verse 19, and then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said unto them, now who's there? The disciples. Peace be with you. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said unto them, peace unto you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, look, watch this, receive the Holy Spirit. Now notice here that there was a sequence of events that transpired here. First of all, he revealed himself as the risen Messiah and Savior, as he prophesied to them that he would do. Second of all, he showed them that he was who he was through by walking through a closed doors. He showed them his hands and feet, his scars. He showed them all this stuff. And then the Bible says that he breathe on them. This is the same Guys, this is the same concept as all the way in the book of Genesis when God created Adam out of the dust of the ground and breathed the breath of life into him. Same concept. And he said to them, look at this, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. So notice that upon them believing, they received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Y'all see this? Now look what it said. Now go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Look what it says here. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Y'all see that? In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, watch this, you were, what does it say right there? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the day of redemption of the purchased possession. Now, when did we receive this? Come on, talk to me, somebody. When we believed in him, okay? We received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of an inheritance of the day of the purchased possession. This is until the day of our redemption. So we're sealed with the Holy Spirit upon believing in him. Now watch this. Now I want to go to the book of Acts. Let's go over here to the book of Acts. I know this is different, guys. This is a teaching. This is an equipping message. This is not a, we're not taking headlines today and giving you prophetic viewpoints, but we're equipping the saints today. We're equipping the body of Christ. Now watch this. This is Acts chapter 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now look at this, verse 4, and being assembled together with them. Okay, now listen, they had already believed in him. They had already got the infilling of the Holy Spirit upon believing. Look what he says. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water. That's, we covered that, the water of repentance. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Okay, stop. Again, is this, are they getting filled? What's going on here? Do we have a problem here? No. Again, they had already received the infilling upon believing of salvation. But now look at this. He is commanding them, not suggesting. Oh, that's big right there. He's commanding the disciples to go into Jerusalem, go in the upper room and wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard from me. And he references John. He says, John baptized with water into repentance, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. What in the world is this, Brother Ricky? This is what John talked about when he says, lo, I baptize you with water into repentance, but he who comes after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now you say, well, hold on. In Acts chapter 2, Jesus was not present because he gets taken up in Acts chapter 1. You're right. But, oh, I'm going to get there. But before I get there, I got to show you something else here. Now let's jump over here, John 14. Now this is prior to upper room. We're going to get to the upper room. But watch this. I'm just bringing stuff to your remembrance. Watch this. John 14, 12, Jesus is speaking. Most assuredly, I say unto you, he believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. So he's telling him, I'm going to my Father. Now watch this. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. And that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Then you go on to verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Look at this, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth. Okay, oh, I wonder who he's talking about here. Whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you. Come on, and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come. All right, John 16. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Come on, Acts chapter 1. He's going to go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. He's not talking about the infilling. Again, their spirits were born again. The Holy Spirit, it's the infilling. He lives on the inside of them. But he's talking about the promise of the Father, the endowment of power, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. He says, if I don't go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Notice he says that he has to depart first, and then he will send, come on, the Paracletos, the Comforter. He will send this baptism to you and I. He's going to send it from heaven, friend. All right? Watch this. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Wow. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Now, he goes on, he talks about, I have so many things I still want to speak to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. I mean, right here, John 16, 13. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Hallelujah. Oh, I know where I'm going with my message tonight. You may not know yet, but I do, and I'm telling you, I'm already getting excited about this, because once you get the revelation of what I'm talking about today, you are going to want this. All right? So let's go back to Acts chapter 1. Jesus is, he's gathered with his disciples. Remember, the Bible says he's already presented himself alive for 40 days, 40 nights. He's already went into a private room, walked through walls. But they believed on him. They believed in him. He breathed on them. They received the infilling and of the Holy Spirit, which has sealed them to the day of redemption. But now he's telling them, all right, guys, this is a commandment, not a suggestion. I need you to go to the upper room in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of my Father. None of them question what is the promise of his Father, because he already went over it and John recorded it. I just went over it with you, John 15, John 16. They all know this. They said, okay. So they went there. Watch this. And then he, verse 9, this is in Acts 1:9, as he spoke these things, while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. But before that happened, I want you to jump back with me. Look at this. Acts 1, verse 6. So he gives them his commandment. Go in Jerusalem, tarry, wait for the promise. Look what it says. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Because listen, guys, they were looking for a military leader. They wanted someone to take them out of the tyrannical government of Rome. They wanted an established kingdom on earth. They were not kingdom-minded. They were earthly-minded. And that's why they're saying it. Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times nor season which the Father has put in his own authority. But watch this. Verse 8. Look what it says. But you... Let me pull it up. I realize I don't have this up on the screen. All right. Right here. I've got you guys. Don't worry. YouTube, Rumble. I've got it. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, not in you. He's already come in them. He's living on the inside of them. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Why? You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Friends, listen to me. Oh, I'm going to go back and forth here. You say, well, Brother Ricky, I don't need that baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, first of all, Jesus commanded the early church disciples to wait and receive this promise, this endowment of power. Second of all, there is a purpose to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And listen to me, it's not so that you and I as believers can, and listen, I'm about to make a statement that's going to sound derogatory towards the Holy Ghost, and it's not at all. Listen, if I go into a meeting, a conference, a gathering of believers, and the Holy Ghost's power is there, listen, and there is a manifestation of the Spirit of God wherein which people start crying, they start shouting, they start running, they lie down on the floor, whatever the case may be. I've seen people, even myself, when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, my body could not stand on its feet. I went out in the Spirit of God. And I said, well, I don't believe all that stuff. I don't really care if you do or not, but it was I'm telling you, I know what you cannot say anything that's going to refute what I know. And I know that I received this precious gift that we're going to show you in Acts chapter 2, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on, and fire. And my physical body demonstrated a manifestation to and reacted to the power of God that surged through my flesh and bones. So listen, I'm all for all that. But the reason why God, Jesus Christ, commanded the early church to receive this gift is because they needed this gift to navigate through life, number one. I'll elaborate more on that in just a minute, and to receive power and boldness to proclaim the gospel throughout the world. And number three, that they, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it is the key that gets you into the room where all the other nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, I know this is going to freak out all the cessationists that don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit today, the moving of the Spirit today, the baptism of the Holy Ghost today, and all of the gifts of the Spirit. But listen, I am not one to back down. I will keep pressing forward, because we're going to bring up the Word of God. Now let's go to the book of Acts chapter 2. Now we're going to get into when the gift fell. All right, Acts chapter 2. Let's pull it up. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly, here it comes, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where in which they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire. Hello, John. And it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Wow. Now watch it. Here's what's amazing. So all this is happening, and people are freaking out just like they do today when you go into a Spirit-filled church. And you've never been educated on this. You're ignorant on the Bible. No, and there's not proper teaching on this. You walk into a church where the gifts of the Spirit are operating, where people are filled with the Holy Ghost. You've got people praying in the Spirit, and you walk in and you think it's madness. And this is exactly what they're saying. So there was people there that mocked. Read it. Verse 13, there was mocking. They were saying they were drunk and all this. And Peter stands up, raises his voice. By the way, Peter, you know, the guy who denied Christ three times, ran away and hid. It's amazing how the same guy, now that he's filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, something happened on the inside of him. Come on. And it transformed him and changed him. And now he's no longer timid, but now he's bold as a lion. Oh, I'm going to tell you something today. If you haven't caught on, the weapon that we need today is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It gives us the cutting edge. It gives us the advantage. And I'm telling you, it's going to empower us to navigate through this life that is full of trials, tribulations, and all kinds of things that you and I are going to need. We need God's direction. We need His wisdom. We need Him speaking to us. He needs to give us the cutting edge. We need the boldness. We need all of these things. And you get this through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And here's Peter, who was timid, denied Christ three times, tried to run away and hide. But now, after he receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he sees people mocking this event. He sees people scoffing it. He sees people saying, well, these people are drunk. They've lost their mind. And Peter stands up and he says, these are not full of wine, for it's the middle of the day. These people are not, they're not drunk as you suppose. Listen what he says to them. All you men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he says, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Young men shall see visions, and young men shall dream dreams. Listen to that. He equates the baptism of the Holy Spirit being poured out with dreams, visions, and sons and daughters prophesying. So if you don't want your sons and daughters prophesying, and you don't believe in dreams and visions, and God's using, he's speaking to people in these last days through dreams and visions, then please, by all means, avoid the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You definitely don't want that, because I'm going to tell you, I am living proof that the thing that set me apart in my walk with God, when I first got saved, I got born again, I received the baptism of water unto repentance, which was John's baptism. I thank God for that. I was saved. I was born again. My name was put in the Lamb's Book of Life. But when the day came, when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you, something changed on the inside of me. There was a fresh fire, a fresh wind, a fresh oil. When I opened the Bible, it never read the same again, because Jesus said in the book of John, when John recorded those words, Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, when He comes, He will not speak of His own accord, but He shall speak that which the Father gives Him to speak, and He shall show you things to come. I'm telling you, I have journals documented with dreams, with visions, with words from God, that God spoke to me directly, and things that He spoke to me 6 months later came to pass, 3 months later came to pass, 5 months, 5 years later come to pass. He warns me. He's warned me and continues to warn me through dreams. He shows me circumstances that are going to happen before they ever transpire. When I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I put the key in the door, opened the door, went into the room, and there was 9 other gifts available for me. Your Bible says that we are to covet the gifts of the Spirit. We are to desire the best gifts. Well, what are the best gifts, Brother Ricky? The best gift is the gift that's needed in the circumstances in which it's needed. If I'm coming into a room and I've got a loved one that's sick with an infirmity, I don't need tongues and interpretation of tongues in that moment. What I need is the gift of healing, the gifts of healing, so that I can lay hands on them and pray for them and see the prayer of faith and see them raised up in Jesus' name. I'm telling you today, friends, not only is the baptism of the Holy Ghost available for us today, it's available for you today. It's available for your household today. It's available for your sons. It's available for your daughters. It's available for men. It's available for women. It's available for the young, and it's available for the old. I want to read on here what Peter said in his sermon. Oh, come on, somebody. Let me keep on going here. In Acts chapter 2, Peter begins to expound on how Jesus was crucified and he became the Son of God, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and now he's poured out the Holy Spirit in those days. He gets down here in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and he says to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." We're not baptized into John's baptism anymore. Come on. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." We're baptized in Jesus' name now. So he says to them, you get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And look at this. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise, watch this, is to you, present tense, third day, to your children, the generation after them, and to all who are afar off. In the Greek, listen to me, here's what this says when you read this in the Greek. The gift was for them, it was for their children, and it's to all who are far off, meaning everyone, including you and I, today have the availability to receive this precious gift. And the same faith it takes to receive salvation is the same faith it takes to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now I want to get, as we're getting ready to close this broadcast, I want to get to the purpose of this. And this is why I said, don't get offended me when I say this statement. The purpose and the intent for us to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not to have some show, not just to have some kind of show and tell, or have a church service where we all just flop around on the floor and run around, jump around, swing on chandeliers, jump over pews, see how high we can jump and shout and scream and play our instruments, do all that. No, listen, I love having church. I love shouting when I need to shout. I love laying before the Lord. I love, I've wept my eyes out. I've run around the church. I've had some awesome, powerful services. I don't have a problem with that. But there's a time, there comes a time we get up off the floor and we go out the door. So, and if you go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So number one, listen, we need this endowment of power in our lives so that we can have the boldness we need to preach to God. Listen, if you're watching this, you're listening to this today, and you say, "Well, Brother Ricky, I love Jesus, but I just have no, when it comes to witnessing to people, I just don't have the edge, I don't have the nerve, I don't have the boldness." Listen, if you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, you will have the boldness that you need to go out there and proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We saw it with Peter. You see pre-Holy Ghost Peter, baptism of the Holy Ghost Peter, and you see post-Holy Ghost Peter. The pre-Holy Ghost Peter baptism was, again, denied Christ three times. You go to after that event, Acts chapter 2, he stands up, he preaches, come on, with Holy Ghost and fire. There's 5,000 people that come to the Lord. Then there's 3,000 people that get to the Lord. Then you read on, and Peter has this boldness about him that he never possessed before he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. So we need this boldness so that we can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number two, Jesus said, "The works that I do, ye can do also, and greater works shall you do because I go unto the Father." Listen, the reason why we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost is because, again, it gives us the ability, it gives us access to all nine gifts of the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 12, these are powerful gifts of the Spirit of God that if we allow God to use us, we can go into the marketplace, the public place, and everywhere, our families, and you watch God use you. You come before God and say, "Lord, use me to witness the gospel, help people, encourage people, acknowledge divine appointments," and you watch God and you covet those gifts. Ask the Lord, "Lord, give me the baptism of the Holy Ghost, give me these gifts," and he will, and you step out in faith, watch him use you mightily in Jesus' name. And I want to say something here. And you say, "Well, I don't believe in all that speaking in tongues stuff. I think it's gibberish." Listen, all that nonsense has been taught to you by your denomination, maybe your preacher, a teacher, whatever the case may be, that has taught you all that stuff. And it's absolutely, it's mocking and scoffing the gift of the Holy Ghost. First of all, did you know that Isaiah the prophet foretold this event? In Isaiah 28:11, he says, with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people. He references stammering lips and another tongue. Jude, who this is the book right before the book of Revelation, Jude says, look what he says, Jude 1:20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, King James, I believe, says, in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. This is not praying in English. He's saying you are building up your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. The Apostle Paul says this. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, notice the context here. This is talking about spiritual warfare, right? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness and heavenly places. Look what he says. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Watch this. He talks about putting on the gird your waist with truth, put on a breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet, with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith in which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, look what he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying in the what? In the Spirit. Well, I don't think that's what he meant. He absolutely meant that, friend. Listen, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:18, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Here's what he's saying. Because listen, I get this all the time. People will say, because when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have a prayer language in the Spirit. You can pray in the Spirit. And a lot of the, and listen, I'm not bashing Baptists, but I'm telling you this is predominantly taught in Baptist circles. And they will tell you, well, Brother Ricky, if you're praying in your prayer closet or in your house or in your bathroom or in your car and you're alone, and you're speaking in tongues, then you got to have someone there to interpret it, or you need to keep your mouth shut. Guys, that is not biblical. Oh, I know some of y'all is raising your eyebrows. Listen, Paul covers all this. I don't have time to dig into it. It would take 2 hours to cover this entire thing. Let me give you this in cliff notes. Paul said in a church service, whether it's in your home, a group of believers in your home, in your basement, in a church building, in a synagogue, whatever, where there's gatherings of people, the ecclesia, the church. And Paul says, when I get up and I speak to the people, he said, it is out of order for me to get up and speak in tongues and give no interpretation. Now, remember, I told you in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's what's called the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. So if someone stands up in the church and says something in tongues, but there is no interpretation given either by the individual who gave the tongues or someone else to give the interpretation, that is out of order because no one knows what was said. Okay? This is why, but watch this. But if it's a prayer service, so if I'm hosting a prayer service here online, and I have 1,000 people watching, and I say, right now, in Jesus' name, we're going to begin to pray and intercede for our country. I am going to pray and intercede. I'm going to lead us, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray in the Spirit if I feel led or whatever the case may be. And I start praying to God. And I begin to speak in my heavenly language because I'm the Bible. Let me show you what Paul said here. Watch this. This is, where am I at? 1 Corinthians 14. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Look at this. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Let me say it for the back row again. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Watch this. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. It's not gibberish. Come on, that's that. Listen, you want to get banned in the chat? You start calling the gifts of the Spirit and the language of the Spirit babble and gibberish. That'll get you banned quicker than anything. Because, listen, you're doing this out of ignorance, so God will forgive you if you're doing it out of ignorance. But you're essentially blaspheming the Holy Spirit by doing that. If you willfully know to do that and you do it, you're blaspheming the Holy Ghost. So we don't allow that stuff to go on. Paul says, when you speak in a tongue, and he's not talking about you being bilingual. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard too. That's not what he's talking about. He speaks in a tongue, does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Guys, if it was another dialect, it wouldn't be a mystery. And he even says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels. Okay? Yes, you could be bilingual and you're speaking the tongue of men, diverse languages. The gift of diverse tongues, that's what that is. But then there's the gift of the Spirit. Okay? The language of the Spirit, that is the tongues of angels. Look what he says. I wish you all spoke with tongues. Notice that Paul did not discourage his church, or the church rather, because he was an apostle and overseer of all these churches. Notice he didn't discourage them from speaking in tongues like a lot of these pastors do. In fact, he said, I wish you all spoke with tongues. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Listen to what he says here. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Again, he's addressing a public service, not a private prayer meeting. So again, if I'm leading us in prayer and I'm praying in the Spirit, I don't need to give an interpretation because I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to God. Y'all hear what I'm saying? If I'm in my prayer closet, nobody's there, and I'm praying in the Spirit, I don't need someone else there to interpret it because I'm speaking mysteries unto God. I'm speaking the language to God. God knows it. God interprets it. And God will give me somehow, some way, the interpretation. Now, listen, I can tell you many times where I have prayed in the Spirit and I didn't hear any audible voice. I didn't hear anything here in my spirit. But you know what happened? That night I had a dream and it was from the Lord. And the Lord answered me in a dream through the things I was praying in the Spirit earlier that day. So listen, God always has a way to come on, reach you and speak to you. So what am I talking about today? I'm talking about if you want the cutting edge. And listen, it's not a salvation issue. You say, well, I don't want all that stuff. I'm scared, Brother Ricky. I don't know. Well, first of all, listen, let me show you this real quick. We're going to close here. Let me show you what Jesus said in Mark. We're in Luke chapter 11, verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, come on, y'all need to highlight this. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Oh, come on. Listen, if you just simply ask the Lord for this precious gift, he desires to give it to you. And you say, well, Brother Ricky, why do I need this gift? It's not a salvation issue. You're right. It's not a salvation issue. But honey, listen to me. If you want to make it through this life and not be beat up torn apart, defeated, come on, busted, broken, disgusted. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Listen, when Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River, your Bible says immediately upon baptism, he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the Holy Spirit ascended on him like a dove. It's in your Bible. And it says, and the Spirit immediately led him to be tempted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And you know what happened when he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights? Jesus used the word of God and rebuked the devil, not once, not twice, but three times. And the Bible says, and Satan left him for a season and angels ministered unto him. And you know what it says? Immediately after he left the temptation of 40 days and 40 nights, he entered into Galilee in the power of the Holy Ghost, and he began to do his miracles. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. If Jesus Christ in the flesh needed the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what makes you and I believe that we can make it through this life without the same for us? Come on. Is anybody listening to me, what I'm saying today? You need to listen to what this preacher's telling you today and stop listening to all the critics and everybody that wants to poo-poo you and discourage you and belittle you and scoff you and mock you because listen, if you'll come with the faith like I did when I got saved, I thank God, guys, that I was not polluted and deluded by some denomination and some religious indoctrination. I was a heathen and came to the Lord, and I didn't have to peel all these layers of onions of denominational and indoctrination and doctrinal beliefs and traditions like an onion to get through. I didn't have to go through all that to receive everything God had for me. I received salvation. I got born again on June 2nd of 2000. Then I began to read my Bible. It was a little bit of, at the time, I had a Bible I would read at home, and then I would go to work and I would read a little Gideon Bible, and I begin to read the book of Acts, and I begin to read about the Acts of the Apostles. You call it the Acts of the Apostles. I call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit, the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, because from Acts chapter 1 all the way to the end, we see the demonstration of the Spirit of God moving through the earth. By the way, nowhere in the Bible is the gifts of the Spirit ever referenced and referred to as the gifts of the apostles. Nowhere. That's a term that was coined by the sensationists, and they tell you that when the last apostle died in the fourth century, the gifts ceased from operation, and they call them the gifts of the apostles. That's not what your Bible says. It's called the gifts of the Spirit, and the last time I checked, the Spirit of God did not descend. He did not leave the earth, but he's still in the earth. He's still in us, working through us, and the baptism, the endowment of power, the Acts chapter 2 event is still available to you and I. So if you're watching, you're listening, and this has stirred up a hunger on the inside of you. Maybe you've been saved. You've been born again for a long time. Maybe you've read about this. Listen, and let me get back to what I was saying. I would read about the Acts of the Apostles in this. I would have my little Gideon Bible at work. I would come home and I would read about how they were baptized in the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. There were some disciples that came down and the apostles asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They said, we have not even heard of such a thing. And he spoke to them and they preached to them and they informed him of what it was. And then they got baptized in Jesus' name and they all got filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in a new tongue. When I began to read about this, I began to ask the Lord, I was praying earnestly. I said, God, if this is still available today, if you still want us to receive this today, then I want it. I want everything that you have for me. Now, why did I pray that? Because I had a wife, and I still do. I'm still married to the same wife 24 years. Praise God. It'll be 24 years this year. We'll be married since 2000. But she came out of the Baptist church, and they taught her that this precious gift was not of God, and it was of the devil. So she despised this gift. She was afraid of this gift. But when I read the Bible, come on, I didn't choose to listen to that. I I measure that up to what the Word of God says, and I'm reading the Word of God, and I'm seeing where every person received this gift, their life was completely turned upside down for the good. It was transformed. God was using them to do mighty things and turning cities upside down, healing the sick, casting out devils, come on, raising the dead, signs, wonders, and miracles through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I began to realize this is not evil. This is not of the devil. This is of God. And so I prayed. I said, God, if this is of you, I want it. And you know what happened? It didn't happen immediately. But over time, as my hunger began to build and build and build and the anticipation began to build, on one faithful night, on a revival meeting, y'all have heard me preach about this, talk about this. There was a man of God preaching. He called me out by word of knowledge, which is, by the way, one of the gifts of the Spirit of God. He called me out, and he called me out to the middle of the aisle of the church. And he said, young man, he didn't even know me, didn't know who I was. And he said, you've been asking for a gift, haven't you? And I said, yes, I have. And it freaked me out because I had never been exposed to anything like that. How did he know me? How did he know I was looking for this gift? And he said, tonight you're going to receive that gift in which you've been asking the Lord for. I just showed you in the book of Luke. If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more should your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So I said, thank you, Father. So I lifted up. He told me, he said, lift up your hands and receive this gift tonight. I lifted up my hands. He laid hands on me, by the way, which is biblical. In the book of Acts, they laid hands on them and they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost on that faithful night. I felt the power of God go through and course through my body like an electrical current that I could not contain. People say, well, I don't think you need to shake and quiver and fall under the Spirit of God and all that. Listen, you take a fork and you take off a wall socket and you expose that socket to all of its wires, and you take that fork and you shove that metal fork into that electrical circuit, and you come back and tell me if your body responds to that currency. When the real power of God hits you, your body is going to respond to that. Can I get a witness to somebody? Is there anybody that is still old school out there that believes what Brother Ricky is telling you tonight, that's been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and there ain't no lying devil, no denomination, and no tradition of men that can talk you out of this, and you know that you know and you believe what the Word of God says, and you believe that this gift is for you, for your children, and for all those that are far off? So listen, I get it. I guarantee you I've covered probably every aspect of what you've either believed, what you've taught, your fears, your unknowns, all of it. So tonight, here's what we're going to do. I know this is a little bit different, and some of y'all may be freaking out right now because you didn't even know this about Brother Ricky. Because you don't see me praying in the Spirit a lot on these programs. Why? Because again, lest I interpret it, it doesn't edify the believer. So that's why I don't do this, because we're edifying, we're equipping, we're informing. So tonight, if you're watching, you're listening. And you've received this, and I believe 99% of everybody watching this program has already received the baptism of John of repentance unto salvation. But I believe there's a lot of people that may have never received the baptism of Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and fire. So if that's you tonight, you're watching, you're listening, I want to give you the opportunity, right? You say, wait a minute, that can happen right here? Oh yeah, Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, when the household of Cornelius, when Peter came from Joppa and he came in and he brought his men with him, he preached Cornelius Jesus Christ, the remission of sins through Christ, through faith in Christ. The Bible says that Cornelius and his whole household received it. And upon their receiving their salvation, your Bible says, as Peter spoke, the Holy Ghost fell upon all who listened and believed, including the Gentiles. And Peter right then was astounded among his Jewish brethren and said, who are we that can restrain and prevent this gift from being poured out upon even the Gentiles? Again, fulfilling Joel chapter 2, all flesh, sons and daughters. So if that's you tonight, you're listening, you're watching, and you say, Brother Ricky, I feel this. I can already feel him right now. I can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit moving right here in my podcast studio. And if I feel this, I believe somebody, you feel him all over you. Somebody right now is listening. Come on, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit move right now. Somebody right now, you have what Isaiah talked about. You have the stammering lips. Your lips are already starting to quiver. You know what that is? That's the Holy Ghost. He's upon you. But he wants to empower you. He wants to baptize you in his Spirit. He wants to baptize you, immerse you in the fire of God, if you'll allow him. So if you're watching, you're listening, and you're able to do this, I want you to lift your hands right in your living room, your bedroom. If you're in a car, pull over your car to the side of the road, pull in the parking lot, get to a place where you can do what I'm asking you to do right now. Come on, we're going to pray. I want you. Why do I need to lift my hands? Because it's the universal sign of surrender. Come on, you get better reception when your antennas are up. You're putting your hands towards God as a display of surrender, and that you are willing to receive all that he has for you. So come on, let's pray right now. I'm going to lead us into a prayer, and then I believe tonight that people are going to receive this precious gift. Come on, let's pray right now. Come on, I'm going to pray. I'm going to lead us into prayer. And I want you to pray from your own heart. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray a prayer of cleansing. Okay? And then we're going to lead up to this. Here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you tonight or today. We come for you right now. And I ask, Lord, that you would forgive me of my sins. You would forgive me my trespasses, my transgressions, and my iniquities. Lord, that you would cleanse me from my head to my feet. Lord, right now I repent of all known sin. I repent of anything that has quenched, grieved, or vexed the Holy Spirit of God. I repent and renounce it right now. I ask that you would wash me in the precious blood of Jesus right now in Jesus' name. Father, and as I pray this tonight, I ask that, Lord, that you would help me with my faith to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, guys, listen to me. The same faith it takes to receive salvation is the same faith that receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on, lift up your hands right where you're at. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see those that are watching, those that are listening, those that are responding, and those that are in agreement right now. And Lord, you see their hearts, and you see that they want this precious gift. Father, I pray that you'd make yourself as real as you could ever make yourself. Lord, that they would feel the Holy Ghost in fire tonight. And not only would they feel it, but Lord, that they would receive this precious gift as we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, in their living rooms, in their homes, in their vehicles, right where they're standing, right where they're sitting, right where they are, Lord, I pray that as they ask for this precious gift, that they would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire in Jesus' name. Come on, open your mouth. Begin to ask him. Say, Father, come on, this is what you got to pray. Say, Father, I ask that you'd baptize me and the Holy Ghost in fire. God, that you would give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. Come on, there's somebody right now, you're watching, you've already received this gift, but you've grown cold. You've let the oil run out. You've let the fire run out, but you can get filled again. It's not a one-time deal, friend. You can get filled continually. It's like a tank of gas that runs out in your car and you begin on empty. You got to get refilled. I can show you that in the book of Acts. They came together time after time and time, and they begin to pray, and the whole house was filled. They were filled with the power of God. They were filled with great power and with great grace. And come on, the Holy Ghost is filling some people right now. There's somebody on your knees. There's tears flowing. Your hands are up and you're on your knees. God is filling you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, fill that man of God. Fill that woman of God. Fill that child of God. Fill that little girl. Fill that little boy in Jesus' name. You said this gift was not just for men and women, but for sons and daughters, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I pray that as they're being filled with the Holy Ghost, begin to use us, Lord. Use us in the highways and byways. Use us in the marketplace. Use us in our families. Use us in our neighborhoods. Use us in our communities. Use us in our workforce. God, let us go out with boldness in Jesus' name. Let us declare the works of the Lord our God. Let us open our mouth and declare the oracles of God. Lord, I pray that our speech is not of enticing words, but demonstration of power and Holy Ghost. I pray the Lord, the gifts of the Spirit would begin to unlock. They would begin to manifest among us in Jesus' name. That, Lord, we would begin to be used in these gifts, God. Lord, I pray that you'd begin to speak to us in dreams and visions in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. God, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Listen, we're not rushing you. If God's all over you and the power of God's moving on you, it's okay. Just stay where you're at. I don't want to quench the Holy Ghost. I want him to. That's the one thing I hate, guys. Is if I'm in a church and I'm at the altar and I'm seeking God and I'm on my face before God and an usher comes and pulls me up off the floor, I cannot stand that. Don't do that to people. Let them sit there and let God move in their life. So, Lord, just keep moving in their life. And for you guys that are able to hear me, come on, just keep praying, keep pressing in, and maybe long after we're off this podcast, you're going to continue to seek him. Maybe you haven't received yet, but you just got to keep pressing in. Maybe you've not even started. You're going to wait till the end of the broadcast, get in your prayer closet, get alone, get some worship music. Listen, whatever you got to do, guys, do that. Come on, we want you to receive this. Why? Because we want you to have this weapon and this cutting edge in these last days, because we're in perilous times and we need this gift. Come on. Can I get an amen? So keep receiving this. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. I'm trying to do this as subtle as I can because, again, I'm trying to be really sensitive to what the Spirit of God is doing on this broadcast. Again, guys, if you've not downloaded our free app, it's available on the app on Android devices. You can get it. Download today. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be squared away. We want to give an opportunity to give and sow into this ministry or partner with this ministry. Whatever your relationship is with this ministry, you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or through the main website or right there on the screen, check or money order, and you can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Guys, this has been a great program. I know we've went a little bit longer than normal, but that's okay. We had some church up in here. Come on, can I get an amen? I believe lives were transformed, guys, more than... Listen, if you were not filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight, don't get discouraged. Guys, again, I didn't get filled the initial moment that I had the revelation of this. It took me a while to get to that point. Don't get discouraged. For some of you tonight, this was a seed planted. Some of you, you got to peel through all those layers of denominational traditions of men and mockery and ridicule and all that doubt and unbelief. And it's a little bit harder, more difficult for you to receive, but that doesn't mean you won't. Come on, keep pressing in, keep believing, and we're going to believe with you that you're going to receive this precious gift. So listen, we're going to sign off for tonight. We'll be right back here Monday, Lord willing, on the 20th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, same time, same place, same channel, with another great program. So until then, may the Lord continue to bless you. May his countenance shine upon you, and may his blessings be bestowed upon you. And we give you the praise and glory, Lord, for what you're doing in this service. It's hard for me. I'm having a hard time even finishing this broadcast because, again, the Spirit of God is moving so strongly. So, we're going to sign off for tonight. We love you guys. We'll see you Monday. I can't wait to hear from many of you guys what happened tonight. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.